listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast, episode 280, Swan Princess Christmas. Christmas spirit all year round. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties, because it's time to dive into today's episode. Hey there, animation addicts. I'm your host, Chelsea Robson.
And I'm Morgan Stradling.
Morgan, we have been sending out subliminal messages for the last several years. And now today we have finally come full circle. We are going to do the Swan Princess Christmas. How excited are you?
You know, ultimate excitement level, level 100. We all know how exciting this is. Not really. I mean,
I know.
We're here. And this is going to be a fun one. That's for sure.
So buckle up, stick around. We will be right back and enjoy this nice little interlude.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Princess, speed and puffin. You ready?
Yeah!
It's Christmas time. Let's go.
Let's go.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
All right. So, the information you need for this movie before we get started: production companies Crest Animation Productions and Nest Family Entertainment. We have gone over the differences between those two, although subtle and slight in my mind, in previous Swan Princess episodes. So we'll include those in the show notes. We've actually done the first three Swan Princesses and then 9 and 10. We skipped over the middle and we're saving this one for today. This actually has been on our list since early in the year. We just, you know, we were looking at the year and we planned out our Christmas episodes ahead of time. And this was the one that made the cut. So here we are. We are now doing the Swan Princess Christmas. It came out November 6th, 2012, which was a big shock to the world because it had been nearly 15 years since we'd last seen a Swan Princess movie. This one was in CGI, which was a total departure from before. Directed by of none other than Richard Rich. Distributed by Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Budget, we don't know. And how it did in
sales.
Sales, we don't really know. And that's okay. So this movie is, it's just really interesting that they came back around and they said, hey, you know what? We're going to do this. Because this film, the studios, it's not like they stopped altogether. They were doing a lot of things during this time. I mean, it's kind of interesting because they were focusing on a lot of Bible and Christian films. Mm-hmm. And then in 2010, the Alpha and Omega series. And then they kind of brought this back. And now they've kind of been dancing this dance of doing Swan Princess, Alpha and Omega, Swan Princess, Alpha and Omega. So we're getting quite the variety. Well, not really a variety. You got your two.
Right. You know, the Alpha and Omega series, actually, my nephew, it's one of his, I think it's just because
we have it. That mm-hmm. Whenever he comes over, he's like seven now, and he like only wants to watch those. And I think it's just because it's the movie that he can only see here. And so,
of course, yes, grandma movies.
Yes,
that's what we had. There were certain movies that you could only watch at grandma's house. Like now, that's not. Maybe it is still a thing to an extent, but if grandma has Disney Plus, well, you have Disney Plus, mm-hmm. so it doesn't have the unique.
But these aren't on Disney factor. Plus thing, though. So
right,
these
I'm just using that as an example right, for exactly. You know, most people. If your grandma just puts Disney Plus on, right. You know, then it's like, oh, okay, well, grandma's movies are my movies. But if grandma is old school and has VHS or DVD, and they are specific ones that you don't have,
right?
Oh yeah, get ready.
Yes. So I've seen number two a couple of times. So
as a result of this, I just showed you a YouTube video that was talking about the history of the Disney Channel jingle. And it's like an hour and a half documentary trying to figure out how this came about. It's kind of history of the Disney Channel as well and the different logos. And they tried to figure out who created this jingle and no one really knew. And it's just this incredible YouTube video. I'll include it. It's by Defunct Land. And in it, he had a very, very insightful line. And he was talking about the different eras of the Disney Channel. And there's quite a few. And they basically break down by the different logos that they had for a period of time. And he's like, which one's the best? Whichever one you grew up with.
It is, yes.
And that is total. That is nostalgia. It's wrapped up in a bow. That is so true. Like, what are the best TV shows, the ones that you grew up with.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What's the best movies? The ones that you had at home and grew up with. And that's kind of this. This is not one that we grew up
no.
with. I'm sure there's
its
someone.
Its predecessor, yes, but not this one.
Yeah, there's probably some kids. This came out in 2012. Maybe they were five. So now they're, you know, 15-ish, where this was totally their jam. And this is just core memory for them. That's not us. However, Swan Princess, you know, what it's based on is. And so for that reason, we can kind of give it a chance, if you will. So let's jump into it.
So my first thoughts, memories about this film was the fact that in 2014, we had already done some of the Swan Princess just episodes. We'd already done the Swan Princess episode here on the podcast.
We'd only done the first one. Yeah.
Right. But for whatever.
Very early on. Yes. It was one of our very first episodes because we had to get to it.
Yes. And it was like five, I think.
As soon as Mason was unable due to time commitments or whatever, it was like, excellent, we will do this.
And we had a grand time doing it.
Yes.
But it was 2014. I was living in Nashville and I was just perusing the Swan Princess IMDb, as one does. And I saw that this had come out like 2 years prior. And I was like, what? And so I sent you the information that it had come out. And we were both like, what? How? Why? But so I decided to go in and actually watch it. And I was going to make a YouTube video about, oh my gosh, they came out with number four at this point and how big of a surprise it was. And then I started watching it and I just got to the point where I just closed my laptop and I was like, I can't do it anymore.
I just imagined the slow laptop close. We're done here. You know,
and the reason why it was literally the moment at first you get to the Derek snowboarding part and it was just like, wait, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then it was right after the lightsaber duel that I was like, okay, I can't. We're closing this right now. And I think it was just because I really wasn't expecting any of this. I didn't know what to expect. And it just seemed like such a departure from everything that I was like, you can't just do this to me after I've.
You mean you were expecting something serious?
I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't this. And so I just remember sending you the screenshot and you were like, what is happening?
Yeah. You know, what's really funny is that this movie doesn't take itself seriously, but
all.
it pushes it beyond to just almost the parody realm.
Yes.
Which is kind of bizarre. But it's like they realized, you know what? They were creating, throwing all these ideas in the writer's room. And they decided to just go for it. Why not? I mean, here we are. It's 15 years later. We're doing a Christmas just for a cash grab. We know it. Let's just have some fun while we're doing it. We have to be doing this, right?
Yeah, and I totally think that that's what was happening. And having watched it this time, knowing what I was getting into, it was actually a lot more enjoyable than that first one. Not a high bar, but it was like, okay, I know going into this to not take it at all like this is supposed to be canon at all.
Yeah. I did watch this last year for a YouTube video. I was watching all of the Swan Princess movies. And I remember getting to this one and having been prepped and primed from you and knowing that that was coming and just that this was going to be just totally off the walls. And so it's special. It is something. It kicks it's off special. This new era. You know, the first one is just that the character designs themselves are so bad. We've talked about this before, but it's an art to translate something from a 2D character to a CGI character.
Yeah.
You can do it well, you can do it poorly, and these ones are just poor. Piss poor. Did not do it well. They don't look like the characters at all. Now, they do get better in future movies and kind of fixing this, kind of, but yeah.
The animation is so cringe, especially Odette. Like, every little bit of her movement is just so eerie. Like, oh.
Right.
It's like seeing one of those women who've, like, just really can't stop going to get work done. And
yes.
There was a comment.
That was Odette, for sure.
there was this comment, I guess, online, somebody saying, like, you get all these women who go and get a lot of work done to the point where it's like everybody looks like cousins. I just thought that's so true.
Yes, exactly. It is true. Everyone looks like cousins of each other because they're all looking for the same features. You know, we want the high cheekbones. I want the nose that looks like this. And eventually you lose, one, anything ethnic about yourself.
Yeah.
And then also just anything unique about yourself.
Yeah.
Totally. Yep. She had too much plastic surgery in this period of time, which I get. It's been a while, you know? She must stay looking young and fresh.
It's like the in the Rescuers Down or Rescuer Rangers, where he's like, yep, I got the 3D upgrade.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it wasn't very good. Like, his upgrade, not very good. And then you get the ugly Sonic in there.
Yes, yes. Oh, so funny.
Grand.
Yeah, and also the voices are off, you know. So we don't get really the original voice cast. I think maybe, I'm trying to look, I think Odette has changed. Yes.
Yes. Her singing voice, so 100%. She's like an R&B singer now.
Everyone is different. And so, you know, if you're and it takes just the finest, most superb voice actors to hire in to replace someone, right? Like, for example, you think when they need a new Mickey or they need a new, you know, Mickey's a great example, is that they're able to really just, or even like Bill Farmer, when he came in and he took over as Goofy, they're able to very smoothly transition where no one knows except for those with like the most keen ears. And it's just such a talent, and it's just even hard just to totally replicate it. But, you know, here they're just like, meh. They're not going to spend a lot of money for a total impersonator, right? They're just going to get someone close enough and say, this is the new Odette, you know? And so, yeah, it's a little hard to get used to, but, you know, you just accept it for what it is.
Yeah. And you just, okay, whatever. It looks like they keep the same voice actors in the subsequent iterations. Mm-hmm. So at least they're staying consistent in that aspect later on as things go on. But
I mean, it's been 15 years, so they're like, okay, we're gonna find a new slate of people that can just carry us through however long we're gonna be doing this. The plot of this movie is just so strange. And we're gonna be doing the Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas next, and they kind of have a similar-ish plot line. It's a Christmas movie,
a lot of and green it's lines, like, magical lines.
No, it's just who has, like, the most Christmas spirit.
Okay.
And if someone has too much Christmas spirit, we don't like the bad guy or whoever's in charge doesn't like that. And this movie, really, it comes down to, of course, they have to bring Rothbart back. And it's kind of like the ghost of Rothbart.
Ghost of Christmas Past. And
yeah, yeah. And so he's returned from the dead. He's a spirit. And he has this cat that's helping him
a black achieve his goals. Cat.
Yes. And as his name is number
just
nine.
A black cat.
And he promises the cat, hey, you'll get 9 lives if you help me. And so the cat lures Derek into the cellar of the castle. And there's this mysterious box. It's a chest with an R on it. And, you know, when Derek then leaves, you know, Rothbart comes from the chest as a ghost. And then Rothbart is free to run amok, create mayhem, and destroy the kingdom's Christmas spirit. And it's just like, what? But the thing that makes this unique is that he really can't. Odette is impenetrable because she has too much Christmas spirit.
She's too pure.
She cannot be. She's so just in it. You know, she's one of those people who starts decorating around October. Christmas music starts November 1st. You know, she's just all in the Christmas spirit where he can't break her down, if you will.
Well, and I think it's also they really also play into the fact that she is just so perfect and like hilariously so. Not quite hilarious, but it's almost like, oh, she's giving food to orphans in Indonesia, and oh no, that was last week, you know. And mm-hmm. It's like, oh gosh. See, that was one thing that I dislike about Odette in all of these is that she doesn't have any personality. And at least in the first one, she had her childhood at least had a lot of personality. And then as an adult, she just kind of like didn't have as much. But then again, it wasn't her story at that point because she was the swan. So how much personality can you show? But
yeah,
it's like all of these, like she just, there's no. She doesn't push back on anything. She doesn't have any problems that she's trying to overcome or anything. She is perfect. And they do kind of, I guess, make fun of that. I don't know if that's mm-hmm. something they want to continue with. I just feel like, so you just want her to be a flat character? I don't know. Okay. I guess we're going for that.
We have a lot of songs in this as well.
Yeah.
Which a lot of them are traditional Christmas carols. Quite a few, actually. And we kind of have this auto-tuned glee club that's just around. And it's because Odette is doing, and Roberta. They're doing this big Christmas pageant and this glee club, you know, which is an excuse just to start playing a bunch of Christmas songs, are singing. And in it, so they have this big performance. And Roberta and Rogers actually have been put on a spell by Rothbart somehow. So they're fighting. So they're fighting and getting very aggressive through all of this. And so they're singing the songs. And whenever Odette, you know, whenever these Christmas songs are being sung, especially Odette has a very unique number. Christmas is the reason. It's weakening him because of the Christmas spirit. It's too much.
And the bells, and the bells,
the bells yeah. of the Swan Princess.
And then, you know, the magic and the goodness, the Christmas spirit is so strong that it breaks the spell on the whole kingdom. So dang it, he wasn't able to come back to life that way. But he has another plan set up where the royal Christmas tree. It's always, you know, in these Lifetime movies, these Hallmark Christmas movies, there's always the Christmas tree lighting ceremony.
It's a must.
It's a must if you're going to be making one of these. I've never personally been to one of these. The only one I would even think of being is Rockefeller Center. Uh-huh. However, that's just such a unique tree that it's like, oh, yeah, no wonder they're going to have a big ceremony for it. But apparently in, I don't know if this is in real life. I'm assuming it is. I don't know. In these small towns, it's a big deal whenever you light up the tree for Christmas. Anyway, so they have this here.
In Gilbert, they light up the water tower.
The water tower, yes. I was going to go to that. I saw that and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. But I was like, yeah, but it's not a tree. It's just a water tower. And the tower is lit up all the time. So, yeah. So his last ditch effort is to, you know, he puts a spell on the Christmas tree. So whenever they do the lighting of the Christmas tree.
It's just the light bulb.
Yeah, the bulbs. Yes. If the bulbs turn on, then, you know, he comes back. Derek, of course, and all of these, it's Derek the one to save the day. He tries to stop it. He's unable to. And so Rothbart comes back.
Well, actually, Derek doesn't save the day at all. At the end, it's Odette. Like, everything that Derek does is foiled.
He's trying, but he doesn't in this instance.
Yeah, Lord Rogers, he is, I guess, also an inventor. So he's invented all of these things, the light bulb being one of them. And he's also invented the snowboard because it's faster than skis. And, and it's just like, you know, snowboarding was never faster for me. I feel like skiing was faster. But that's probably just because I was never good at snowboarding and ended up on my butt the entire time. So,
fair.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, so of course, Rothbart comes back to life. He turns Odette into a swan because what else would you do? What else is there? And takes her back to Swan Lake, you know, after he kidnaps
her.
It's like, oh my gosh. He is the annual turning her into a swan.
That was the other weird part about this. Is it doesn't tell you until the very end later when she's just like, oh, this is my very first year without my dad. And I'm like, what? We've already had two other movies. It's like, what? So I was really confused about that, because also at the very beginning, it was like they were just married. Like it felt like that, because Derek's like, oh, yes, you'll come to know my mother. I mean, you know a little bit about her, but not the Christmas Huberta. And it's like, I was really confused. Like, why is he talking to her like she doesn't know anybody? And then I was like, okay, I guess this really was a Lion King 1.5. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we're back at Swan Lake. Speed, Puffin, Jean Bob are back in their horrible, horrible, horrible CGI form.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's not great. So...
And their little escapades through the whole thing were just a little much for me. I mean, a lot of this was a little much for me.
Yes.
But...
Well, they just keep going back to the same thing, but they just put like a Christmas spin on it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's the point? What else is there? You know?
There was a lot of... I did appreciate... They did put them in with a lot of the Glee Club. And so I guess there was that tie in there, because you need to have a song every 5 minutes. Otherwise, you know, kids are not going to be paying attention. Add another song. So I guess you could see that. But I don't know. I felt like the movie was too long.
Well, I loved that Rothbart, you know, the animals try to help save the day. They can't. And he turns them into not stone, because that's everyone gets turned into stone. He turns them into ornaments.
Yes. Because, you know, so at the very beginning of the movie, they're like, oh, every year we make an ornament to show us, you know, what happened this year, which actually is a really good, cool tradition. If that were, I mean, because a lot of people do that as they have like a picture that they turn into an ornament or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, the passage of time. But I think that moment was an interesting part, because it's a very pretty ornament.
It was like, of course you've turned into an ornament. Why? And I love the line from Odette. She's like, do what you want with me, but you'll never destroy Christmas.
It's so great.
Some other, you know, class, you know, ultimately Derek saves the day at the end, but it's like, you saved Christmas and it wasn't even on your list.
Oh, God.
He says, no. Christmas saved us.
No, it's vice versa, because he like passes out, and because of his fight with the great animal, because, you know, he brings a Roman candle to fight the great animal, as if that's going to be the thing that finishes him off. So he passes out at the end, and then she sings her little R&B Christmas music. And that was just the part, like, when the first time when they end up going to the orphanage, because you got to go to an orphanage. No one else is going to be able to melt your heart as much as like orphaned children. Oh, gosh. You're really laying it on there. But she like goes in there and starts singing this R&B song. Like, what the? She's really changed her style, man. And all of the orphanage leader is just like, oh, we definitely know that one. Because it isn't until you get to the orphanage they actually start singing religious-centered music. as opposed to just fa la 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 la.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything else up until that point is very
generic Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it gets to that point where it's like the reason for the season type music is with the orphans, and which also is laying it on a little thick. But you know what? I'm here for it. We're here. But it's like you have that, and then you have the whole Bridget situation. She joins up with Rothbart right away the moment she sees him. Oh, the big baddie is back. And girlfriend gets a lot of action in this movie throughout the entire thing. Like her and her little boyfriend are just like always making out over in the corner. Like, dang, Bridget.
Yeah, I don't need her back.
Yeah, I mean, these are just some of the, there are some funny lines in this. I have to say, like, this would actually be a funny one to just do a watch along. This is one of those that you would have more fun in a large group watching and making fun of it. Because,
oh, for sure.
That's definitely how this was, I'm sure, intended to be watched by older people. If we're going to be watching this, I mean, who else is going to understand the the snowboard reference or even the lightsaber duel, you know? So I feel like that's what they were hoping for, is just like a whole bunch of people just being like, oh, wow, yes, we're just going to do this. And here we are. Here we are.
Here we are. This movie, it's... I don't know. You got everything that you could ever want from a Christmas movie. You have caroling. You have decorating the tree. You have magical wind chimes. It's like we're hitting some of these Christmas notes, and then we just go totally off the rails. You know, we totally just yada yada when Uberta and Rogers are cursed to fight. You know, and they hate each other. The fighting devolves into a lightsaber battle, which is probably like the most iconic part of this entire movie. And why? How did this happen?
Well, they have this.
Where did you get
this? The build up to this was actually really funny, because they're like, oh, I can out Christmas you. And they're both like, right. They're like, oh, but the animals, don't make me bring in the cute animals to do this. And so she's like, I can bring in flamingos. Well, I'm going to bring in a Shetland pony. You wouldn't. I'm like, a Shetland pony is pretty like, hard to beat. And then he's like, well, I'm going to bring in baby pandas. Like, oh, wow. This is going nuts.
Yeah, they did it. They did it.
And so it's like, once again, it was at this point where I was like, I don't know. The original time watching this, I was like, I have no idea what's happening, and I can't take, I just don't know. This was why I slow closed my laptop.
Yeah, I just thought some of these, you know, I've mentioned quite a few of them, but the lines about Christmas, yes, and Christmas spirit, they made me giggle and laugh. You know, when he's talking to Odette and Derek, he says, I know you two are going to get in my way because you have the Christmas spirit all year round. yeah, you're right.
Oh God!
Watch out. We all know those people who are listening to Christmas music in May, because why not?
Didn't you?
I may be guilty of this occasionally.
Yeah, didn't you go to like an Airbnb that was like a cabin up in northern Arizona that was like Christmas all year round?
Yeah, it was called Christmas Chalet, but I went in October, so I don't know if they constantly keep the tree up, or if that was just something that they changed the listing around fall Christmas time. But it works for me.
You're like, I'm great. Let's keep this going.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so I mean, what else is there?
Oh my goodness.
It's a special movie. It's one that if you are are drunk with friends, I guess. I don't know what that's like, but I imagine this would be a great movie to watch with them. You're just like kind of out of your minds, and you're not too embarrassed to first off be watching Swan Princess films. You know, you're with that kind of group of animation addicts that are cool with it.
Or like you're if this is just like a late movie night with girls that grew up with them of our age group demographic, I could see that, because I did go to my friend's house and they did have a journal that was empty. And it, the title was you should write a book, how to offend women in five words or less or something.
Amazing.
I was like, yes, these are my people.
I love it. So, I mean, I know you've been waiting this whole time, but what would you rate this movie? I know you're a big fan.
I think the first.
Now, you remember, you just recently rated Strange World 2 stars, yeah. I believe. 2 stars?
Yeah, right? I think it was 2 stars.
Yeah.
So the thing is, as I was going through this, I get to the point where, like, Bridget turns to Rothbart again and is like, okay, I'll help you. And I looked at the time and I'm like, oh crap, we still have, I'm only 45 minutes in and I'm wishing it were done already. And I had already watched Beauty and the Beast Christmas and it's only an hour. So I was like, dang it, why'd you have to go to the whole hour and 23 minutes? Why, Swan Princess? Why? And then even like the part where they turn the animals into the ornaments, I'm like, there's still 10 minutes left. No. What's happening? It was like, oh gosh, get me through it. But I still would give it about 2 stars. The first time I saw this, it was like, I had a really hard time. Like I said, I couldn't even get through it. And I would have given it the 1 star. But this time, having gotten through it and also knowing what I was getting myself into, it was easier to look at the funny things, but still not more than a 2 star.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm my 1.5, 2 stars range. It's something to watch. It's Christmas. It really goes all in with the over the top Christmassy theme and that Christmas will save all.
Right.
Which it does. The quotes are great. Just the antics are been there, done that sort of thing, with Odette turning into a swan, Rothbart coming back. And it just kind of hits all the same points and notes where it's like, really, you just put this Christmas overlay on it and called it a day, and then just were really wacky in the execution. Uh-huh. And so for that reason, I'm going to give it 1.5 stars and not feel bad about it, because it's the Swan Princess Christmas. Okay, guys.
Richard Rich, we still want to interview you because
we still love you.
Yes. Please don't take this personally. We still love you.
There you have it, guys. Swan Princess Christmas. Let us know your thoughts. Rotoscopers.com/280. That's where you can leave us your thoughts about this film. Our next movie, get ready. We are jumping right into another movie review. We are going to be doing Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas. So a different Christmas property from a very popular property of the early 90s. So we will compare and contrast these two to see what they did right, what they did wrong, and how this one went. So get ready for that one. It's going to be fun. Hope you have a Merry Christmas. And that's all I have for today. Until next time, we are the Rotoscopers. I don't know why I just didn't talk, but
I mean, it's fine.
Let's see. I'm just going to pull up a Wikipedia page. Forever, it brings up the Nest Family Entertainment page when I start typing in Wikipedia. It like pre-populates things that you've looked in the past. And I'm like, that was such a long time ago.
I mean,
and
it's not something. It works for
it's
today.
Relevant for this. Yeah, but on most instances when I'm looking up Wikipedia, this is not what needs to happen. Swan Princess Christmas. There we go. And then we shall go. This might be a 30-minute episode. And that's okay. That's okay. You know what? They don't all have to be the big, long shebang.
The 2-hour Frozen, the original Frozen that we did. I just remember right when we did that, there was, I think it was Gary Wright. He posted something and he was just like, and it's 2 hours of wonderfulness. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Gary. I haven't heard from you in a while.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.